San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Palm Sunday, March 28th, 2001. Today's lesson is It's a Mystery with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. So good morning. Happy Palm Sunday. It's a great day, Palm Sunday. This is the Palm Sunday tie. So everybody say, nice tie.
Nice tie.
Yeah. We must always do this with the Palm Sunday tie. So let us anchor ourselves in this truth that we know, that we absolutely know. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And I say it every Sunday because it's the truth. It's the bottom line truth underneath everything else. There is only one source. There is only one creator. And we are all the creation. And we are all made up of the only thing that the creator had, which is itself. This entire universe. And if you believe in multiverses and parallel universes and all those other things, there's still only one creator. One creator, one source. That's what all of the world's religions started out trying to tell us in their varying creation stories. Language being what it is, translations being what it is, what they are. They all didn't come out sounding alike. But the underlying truth is we didn't just show here up by magic. Yes, it's a mystery, but we are here as part of creation, as part of the one creator. We can either have order or chaos. And even though life sometimes looks like chaos, it's truly order. There is a divine order in everything. Otherwise, the planets would not hang out in the sky like they do. We wouldn't be on the planet. We'd probably all have been thrown off to the centrifugal force at the time when the Earth stopped for a second. When it just shifts for just a second, we would all have flown off. Nothing keeping us here. Heck, maybe that's what happened to the ancient aliens and the early humans. Now, this year, we are using 365 Science of Mind as a guide to our progress through the year. We're using those monthly themes, which Mark mentioned that March is faith. And we're going by the date. So each Sunday, we have this little outline from which I can prepare a talk. And I want to also mention the title, It's a Mystery. It's a Mystery. How many of you have seen Shakespeare in Love? Most of you. Okay, so what happens during this movie is Shakespeare is writing a play, and they've got all the actors, and they've got them assigned to different characters, and the play is not written yet. He's writing the play as the rehearsals are going on. And so people keep coming up to the owner of the theater or the producer, and they say, what's next? When am I going to practice my sword fight? What is my sword fight going to be about? You know, how do I know what I'm supposed to do? You know, am I the guy or am I the guy dressed up as the girl? Every time somebody asked, he would say, "It's a mystery. It's a mystery." Are we going to have live animals? It's a mystery. How many times in our own lives do we do the same thing? We want to know what's next. How will it work? We want to know, we have questions about what's going to happen in the future. It's a mystery. It's always a mystery. Because we don't have foreknowledge of specific events. What we have is intuitive knowing. We have divine guidance. As we approach a situation, we have a sense of either positive energy or unpositive energy. Sometimes we get downright negative, scrapey, sharp, dirty, dark energy. And we say, obviously, that's not for me. But oftentimes it's very subtle. It's a good energy or not. And so as we approach these situations, still it is a mystery, but we have clues. We have simple clues when we go within and we just allow ourselves to be, to embrace that which is. For today's lesson in the 365 Science of Mind, it starts out explaining the cause, the law of cause and effect. It doesn't say this is the law of cause and effect. This is what it says. In the complete simplicity of Jesus, we find thoughts more profound than those of the world's greatest philosophers, yet so simply stated, "As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." What is this but saying that there is a power greater than we are and we can use it? All the art, all the science, all the wit of humankind can neither add to or take from life itself. We are obliged, it says, to assume that there is a presence or principle, a creative power and intelligence that responds to our words. We are obliged to. Well, not really. We can ignore it. I've ignored a lot of things. Sometimes to my benefit, sometimes not. It goes on to say here, but let's not be profound about this. And he's talking about the, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. There is a power greater than you are, and you can use it. Let us not try to be profound about this or put on a long and sober face as though we were carrying around some mystery too great to bear. Rather, let us accept the simple fact with utmost simplicity, and let us believe and believe in our hearts that which the intellect cannot and need not explain. We cannot explain the grand design of the universe. We don't have to. It's not our job. All of the science on Earth is there because of observation. All of the math that we've discovered is there by observation. And from where we are standing, the only things that we can truly try and understand and describe is that which we observe or read about, because we have the written word now. Theory has it they didn't have it in caveman days, but they did have paintings. And who knows what they had before the cavemen? What we cannot and need not explain is the mystery of life. All the rational analysis and all the apparent syntheses of every analysis known to the mind of man has not and cannot and never will explain life. The divine gift is made, this gift of life. And as we awake to the realization of it, it is ours. This is the only secret of any power we may possess, though in reality, we do not possess the power at all. We merely use it. There's one power, remember? It's not my power. It's not your power. It's not somebody else's power. It is power. Divine power, the power of the universe, the power of the Creator. It's greater than any of us are. So when we are doing our prayers, our spiritual mind treatments, our healings, whatever it is we are doing, we are not using our personal power. We are simply a vehicle for the divine power. That one power that is all. There's a biblical verse from Micah. It's Micah chapter 7, verse 8. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. And what did we hear in Reverend John Pileski's song this morning? The light shines within me. I believe in the light. I believe in truth. I believe in love. I believe in the light as the light shines within me. Well, how does that light get within us? It is the light divine, the source that animates this physical body of ours. Life itself doesn't ever change. Our experience of it changes. Life, the essence of life, is changeless. It is simply a divine gift, and we use that powerful gift. This being Palm Sunday, I want to say a few words about Palm Sunday. And before I do that, given what we have said so far, I'd like to ask you a question. Would you like to make an affirmation and speak the truth about yourself right now? Yes or yes? Okay, so place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Today.
Today.
On this Palm Sunday.
On this Palm Sunday.
I follow my divine nature.
I follow my divine nature.
I am on my own personal journey.
I'm on my own personal journey.
Of self-discovery.
Of self-discovery.
And self-awareness.
And self-awareness.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Ah, so simply breathe. Just breathe. You are on your own personal journey. That's the only kind of journey we can take. Everything is a spiritual journey. Everything is a personal journey. Even if we are taking a journey, getting in the car and driving somewhere, getting on a boat and sailing somewhere, it's a personal journey. Because we are having the experience of that journey. There's a book that we use by Ram Dass in our class, Treatment and Meditation. And it is called Journey of Awakening. Not Journey to Awakening, not Road to Awakening. Journey, which includes all the experiences of awakening. Everything we do is our journey of awakening further. Now, as many of you know, San Diego Center for Spiritual Living is an interfaith spiritual community. We honor all paths and traditions that awaken humanity to its spiritual magnificence. Isn't that nice? Awakening. As a spiritual community, we practice the principles of science of mind and new thought. We also recognize the historical significance and symbolism of what palms represent as we enter into the Holy Week of Easter. Keeping this in mind, the annual theme for 2021 here at the Center is Living in Faith and Wisdom, and the monthly theme for March is Faith. So living in faith and wisdom is what this holy week before Easter represents to millions of Christians. And today, we celebrate an historical event in which one man changed the course of human history. For those who follow the biblical account of Jesus, what took place over 2,000 years ago on Palm Sunday, and what happened 1 week later, the glory of his resurrection, is etched upon the hearts of humanity. In traditional churches, this is the most sacred time of the Christian calendar. When you follow your divine nature, you are on a sacred journey of self-awareness, self-discovery, and self-realization. When you follow your divine nature, you recognize divinity within all things and within all people. When you follow your divine nature, you're following that indwelling presence of your higher power, that light that shines within you. You are following the path of Christ consciousness. It's a mystery, and yet it's true. Palm Sunday is a time when millions of Christians celebrate the historical and triumphant return of the Master Teacher Jesus into Jerusalem for the last time, before he made his journey to the cross. According to some dictionaries and theologians, the name Jerusalem, known to many as the biblical city of David, means habitation of peace. Habitation of peace. Jerusalem can be defined as the place where peace resides. Jeru means founding or constituting, and Salem means peace, quiet, harmony, and prosperity. When we look at Jerusalem today, and all the things that are going on in that part of the world, it would behoove us to continue to remember that Jerusalem is a habitation of peace. For when we reinforce that truth within ourselves, we are reinforcing that truth in the world, in the global consciousness. And even back more than 2,000 years ago, Jerusalem didn't really seem like a habitation of peace because it was under Roman rule. Metaphysically, the triumphant return of Jesus to Jerusalem signifies the fulfillment of the promise when the great I Am lifts mankind into the spiritual plane of divine mastery, a place where purity, harmony, and peace prevails. Jesus Christ was following his divine nature. He was the great example of self-awareness and self-realization. In other words, Jesus was the great example, not the great exception. Dr. Ernest Holmes, the founder of the religious science movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook, writes about the divinity of Jesus and his impact on humanity. And this is on page 367, paragraphs 3 and 4. As the external Jesus gave way to the divine, the human took on the Christ spirit and became the voice of God to humanity. How wonderfully he did this. How wonderfully he did this constitutes the history of Christianity and much of the enlightenment of modern civilization. And yet it would be a grave mistake to suppose that he was different from other men. He was a man who knew himself and his direct relationship to the whole. This was the secret of his success. To think of Jesus as being different from other men is to misunderstand his mission and purpose in life. He was the way shower and proved his way to be a correct one. His method was direct, dynamic, and powerful, yet extremely easy and simple to comprehend. He believed in God in himself as power and reality. Believing in God within, he was compelled to believe in himself. When we know that God is within, who are we to deny it? Simply stated, Jesus proclaimed his divinity through his humanity and paved the way for others to follow his example of love, compassion, and peace. Believing in God within, the Father within, Jesus was compelled to believe in himself, his higher self. And this was true right up to the last few days of his brief ministry. Jesus has one last opportunity to present his divine self to the world and to those who questioned his higher authority. The question of whether Jesus would dare come into Jerusalem for the observance of the Passover holiday was on everyone's mind back then. Jesus was the talk of the town, a celebrity in his own time. And soon it became apparent that this holy man, whom days before had performed miracles and continued to challenge authority, was coming to visit Jerusalem, the spiritual center and the hub of the Jewish culture. It was a bold move, and it took careful consideration and forethought. And people would say, well, why would he do that? It's a mystery, but not so much of a mystery in retrospect. But at the time, truly it was a mystery. Why would he go someplace where he knew there was great trouble brewing? Jesus was making a statement of his divinity and the divinity of all mankind, and he was willing to take his message to the streets on that first Palm Sunday. As the word spread of Jesus' triumphant return, the city prepared for a royal reception unlike any other. They believed he was the king who was going to save them, right? A royal reception. There's a book written by Joseph Gerzon, the founder of the Joshua Foundation, which is an organization dedicated to educate the world about the historical Jesus. And it's called Jesus, A New Understanding of God's Son. I like it. In chapter 38, under the heading, Jesus' Last Ministry in Jerusalem, Gerzon writes, the Passover was not far off. People were coming from all over the known world, and also from those villages where Jesus had been preaching and healing during the past few months. These local villagers showed an unusual liking for Jesus, and they were looking around for him as they approached the city. Those who had come from other countries and had heard Jesus preach on previous visits were asking themselves, do you think he'll be here for the feast? Do you think he will finally be accepted by the authorities? Those who lived closer to the temple and in Jerusalem itself knew better. They had been informed that the order had been issued by the chief priest that anyone who had knowledge of Jesus' whereabouts should report it to the authorities so they could arrest him. The city was tense and everyone was on edge. End quote. In the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, there is an account of the first Palm Sunday. When they were approaching Jerusalem, close to the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, go to the village facing you, and as you enter it, you will immediately find a colt tied that no one has yet ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, what are you doing? You will answer them this way, the master needs it, and will send it back here at once. They went off and found a colt tied near a door in an open space. As they untied it, some people said to them, what are you doing untying that colt? They told them what Jesus told them to say, and the men let them go. They then took the colt to Jesus and spread their garments on the back of the colt for a more comfortable journey. End quote. So Jesus then proceeded to enter the gates of Jerusalem, and he entered the east gate because that was the prophecy. It was a bold move for someone who was being watched very closely by those in power and authority. Think of it. Their local CIA and FBI and NSA, they had tabs on him. They were watching him closely. They were waiting. They had a plan. This guy was causing a mess. He was stirring up a ruckus. And the people were with him. And that scared them. Because when the people have a focus on something that is unlike what the authorities and the powers want them to focus on, then the authorities and the powers feel threatened. And well, they should. Because those in power can only stay in power by controlling others. 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, now, 2 and 4,000 years in the future. People who want authority must control others. And it's not a mystery why. So Jesus proceeded and entered the gates of Jerusalem in this bold move because he was so closely watched. And yet, Jesus knew he was the great Messiah of the prophets. The prophets said that Jesus would come and fulfill the promise of the Most High. It's written in the Holy Scriptures that the people who gathered to welcome him threw their cloaks, garments, and palm branches onto his path. This was done to make his ride easier along the rocky and uneven streets of Jerusalem. And most importantly, to honor his triumphant return to the habitation of peace. So you could imagine the festive mood of the people singing their praises of Jesus' arrival on that first Palm Sunday in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. They were singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. The King has come." Now, in ancient times, palm branches symbolized goodness, victory, and peace. And so they had these palms symbolizing the goodness, the victory, and the peace. And these palms were often depicted on coins, on important documents, and incorporated in the architecture of the day. It was even said that King Solomon had palm branches carved into the walls and the doors of his temple to let all who enter know the sacredness and integrity of his holy place. And many of the faithful would adorn their homes with palm branches to ensure safety. Goodwill and peace would reign throughout the year when they had these palm branches. It was a tradition that continues to this day. And so we reflect on the sacred journey that took place over 2,000 years ago. During this Easter week, now through next Sunday, take a moment and honor your own sacred journey as you follow your divine nature of peace and self-awareness. It's a mystery how we all got here, why we are gathered here today. It's the mystery of life itself. And we have that light within. It's the light of Christ's nature that is within us. And we all have within us that Christ nature. We simply allow ourselves to awaken to it, to come to know it, simply. As we believe, so shall we receive. Whatever we believe in, whatever we ask in faith, believing, that is done unto us, for us, with us, as us. So happy Palm Sunday. Thank you for being here, for your time, for your attention. Namaste. And we'll have some special music.